Okay, so I found another good ginger beer. You've heard of this stuff, Bundaberg. You know, you've seen it. You've heard of it. I first found it over that pub there in Hollywood, North Hollywood. It's Hollywood. And I forget the name of the pub. You know, the midget and the bear, some shit like that. But anyway, and I hated this shit with sugar. This is Diet Bundaberg. It's fantastic. Now, I know diet sounds shitty, but this is perfect. Because ginger beer is not supposed to have too much sugar. Fucks up ginger beer. I've said it a million times. No one ever wants to listen to me. Excuse me. So, craft brewed over 3 days. How can you beat that? I mean, I don't know what that means, but... Hey, look at this. Hey, Bill, huh? Says it's craft brewed over 3 days. Yeah? I mean, that's got to be good, right? I don't know. All right. Well, we'll get it anyway. Craft brewed over... Let me see that. Crap. Don't pull it out of my hand. Crap brewed is what it says, man. What is this shit we're watching now? St. Louis and who? Edmonton. Holy Christ. 5-1 Blues. Bye. Third period. I don't know what it is, man. I get off on watching old ball games, like old taped ball games. I love it. I love watching these classic ESPN. I love this shit. I don't know what it is. I like to watch the different style of play. Or to see some great player that went pro, and I never really saw him in college. You suddenly see Desmond Howard or some shit, or you watch Troy Aikman in some of these games. In fact, this game is from 81. This is Michigan. Oh, it's Michigan and Ohio State. From 81. Must have been a barn burner. Would that be Desmond Howard? I know it was Bo Schembechler. Anybody remember that name? Bo Schembechler was the legendary coach of Michigan. And Earl Bruce had taken over at Ohio State for Woody Hayes, who... Woody Hayes was the fucking original Prince of Darkness, man. Especially out here in California, because every time his goddamn teams came... we were scared of Woody Hayes. We were scared of Ohio State. We tended to beat them, but, I don't know what the... But Woody Hayes... wound up punching out a photographer for the LA Times. That didn't get him fired. Is that Bo Schembechler? Nah, that ain't him. What year is this fucking game? Gridiron Classic. What? Anyway, so this guy, I met Art Rogers. We knew Art Rogers. Art had a cabin up at Big Bear Lake. Art was the photographer for the LA Times that got punched out by Woody Hayes. And Art told us the story, a million times over cocktails. And it wasn't much. He said, I just asked him the question. I had the camera up, and he said, Hayes shoved my camera, and I just, I fell backwards. That was about the extent of it. I think, though, he filed some action. They threatened to sue the shit out of him and got Woody Hayes in all kinds of trouble. And then the one that cost Woody Hayes his job is he literally assaulted a player on the opposing team who had caught a big pass and ran out of bounds or something on the Ohio State sideline. And fucking Hayes went up and just clocked this guy like he just lost it, And that was it. That was it for Woody Hayes. And they hired Earl Bruce. And I think this game that I'm watching right now, I saw Earl Bruce on the sideline. I'm trying to pull my pants down. I'm just kidding. There's number one. That's got to be Desmond Howard. End around. Picks up a big three. End around. A big 3 yards. Who's the guy that went to Canada, the Rocket? Remember the kid? Ishmael. Rocket Ishmael. Remember him? What did he do? Did he play in the NFL? Yeah, he did. I forget who he played for. No, that's number one is Edwards. I must have the wrong era here. Sure looks like it's the 80s, though. When I was a kid, I picked a sports page up on a Sunday, and I'd pour over the college scores, and there were hundreds of them. Remember? If you were if you had a big city newspaper, probably, you know, any newspaper with a sports page would have hundreds of colleges. Some of them had the story, some of them didn't, some of them had just had the box score, but there were hundreds and hundreds, and they had all these wild names. And I wondered where these schools were, you know, like there was one, William and Mary. Where's that? You know, it fascinated me, just fascinated. Because, and then Slippery Rock was the one that I had that I wanted to go and see it. I wanted to be near it, you know, and Slippery Rock. How do you go to a school named Slippery Rock, you know? And then Gonzaga. That was another one. Bowling Green, all these schools that had these weird names. I come to find out that Gonzaga is right up here in Washington. I thought it was way back east, because back east to me, you know, when you're a kid, that was really mysterious back there. That's where we call it back east, because that's where the folk, the old timers who lived out west, called it that. And they called it out west. Say, we're going to go back east to visit. Where are you going? We're going back east, you know. They say out east in Canada, for instance, because there is no, they don't have that migration, that migratory brain that America had, you know, heading west. So it was always back east. And back east was places where schools like Slippery Rock were. And there was snow, and there was mud, and there was weird-looking stadiums, and everybody in coats and jackets and those things you put on your head and mufflers and shit. I wanted to see all of that, you know? And then I just lost my interest in it, I think. When I actually did, I went back east to live in Utica, New York for one summer. But I was never in a snowfall. God's honest truth. I was never in an actual snowfall until I was in my late 20s, 28, and that was at Big Bear Lake. I'd never seen a snowfall. And then, that was it, until I was 39 years of age, I think I just turned 40, in fact, and I saw my second snowfall, and that was in Atlanta. And that was, no. Did I actually see the snowfall in Atlanta? I think I did. No, this was in Minnesota, so I was like 41. And that winter was my first, because I don't think I saw the snowfall in Atlanta. I woke up and that snow jam that we had in 92 was like, forget it. And I'm listening to the radio. I'm listening to Jerry Glanville, who was the head coach of the Falcons, going, what you do is you get at the bottom of the hill and just take a run at it and just drive as fast as you can up the hill with all that ice. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And I lose control of the car, and there's people on the sidewalks, and there's kids, and there's, what, are you fucking crazy? Anyway. Well, why the hell you lose control of the car? Because I haven't driven in that shit before. Okay, shit kicker. You live in it. I don't. Anyway. Yeah, Slippery Rock. Yeah, sure. That's it, Slippery Rock. We'll do a whole thing about it. See, here we go. What? Okay, cool. Thank you. Cats. Our new cat, Brea, is just hanging out in the closet and then coming out to eat and then hanging out in the closet. I really hope that motherfucking thunder isn't scaring shit out of her. She's older. She's kind of part Siamese, kind of badass that way, but, you know, she's an old fucking lady, man. And goddamn thunder is being a cunt, excuse my French. just all this. And she even, like, basically backed me off last night. She was like, you know, don't fuck with me. Like, when the instinct kicks in, it kicks in. You know, it's, you can't take it personally. It's the instinct was territory. So I had to, you know, pull rank, and I grabbed a pillow, and I just kind of pushed her off the bed, and then she hauls ass with her tail up in the air like it's all a big fat fucking game, you know. What? Okay. I'm having a hard time sort of putting this together in my head here, because I don't really know if... Well, hello, Phil. Yes, this is Rod Caton, and, oh, I know. Okay. Jesus. Should have seen me trying to hook up fucking... All I'm trying to do... I got DirecTV in my home, but I also have it on my phone. What I was trying to do was pull it in on the computers down here. Well, that was a whole song and a fucking dance.
What's your username? So I use the... Oh, no, no, that's not your... Is that your AT&T Direct Access?
What the fuck is... You know, every time AT&T puts their mittens on anything, it fucks it up. Fucks it up. I don't care how big and how marvelous they think they are. By the way, the FCC is voting to get rid of net neutrality, which basically means this will be an encumbrance on small businesses that use the internet. Because, you know, the more traffic, the bigger companies will be allowed to utilize that, and small companies will have to, you know, pay a heightened fee to use that. Right now, we already pay somewhere in the neighborhood of $4,000 to Amazon. I'm not sure that that's the same thing, but I'm talking about just overhead. And there's no reason other than the fact that somebody in Washington's got a fucking hard dick for Barack Obama. And anything he did, they got to undo. Why? Why undo net neutrality? There's no good fucking reason for it. Now, the FCC, as I tweeted today, is a... I've been around them for 40 plus years. I've watched them destroy the industry. I watched them do their part to destroy the industry. I've watched radio executives run back to Washington, D.C. with their fucking knee pads and get on their knees and stick their fucking FCC's dicks in their mouths.
Yes, sir. What's up?
After the Janet Jackson malfunction on stage. Remember that? When you saw her tits or whatever the hell? That was television, if I'm not mistaken. Well, guess who ran back to Washington to assure them that there would be no such vulgarity on the radio waves of America? The radio executives. We hadn't done a goddamn thing wrong. CBS, by the way, was fighting the fine. They had their attorneys on it. They were fighting for their programming, fighting for the content on their network. Radio didn't do that. Radio's never done that. That's why radio doesn't exist anymore, because they never stood up for the talent. They never stood up for content. They don't even goddamn fucking know what content is. Content? You mean that's like the programs? Oh, well, I don't give a shit. I'm just here to sell a lot of ads. I'm just a fucking jagoff selling fucking airtime. I'm a radio salesman. I sell airtime. I don't do a goddamn thing other than that. And when they make me a program director or a fucking general manager, I fuck the goddamn programming up. That's me. I'm a salesman in radio. I'm a motor-mouth motherfucker sitting near a telephone waiting for it to ring, taking an order. I don't give a shit what's on the air. I humor those cocksuckers up there, but I'm the real moneymaker, yeah. Whole fucking industry gone because you cunts don't know a thing about content. I'll give you a classic example. A thing came in around the mid-90s. I mean, it was around for a long time, but it really was beginning to make itself, called the internet. Anybody ever fucking heard of it? Radio sat there with its thumb parked up its fucking asshole, as usual, and its other hand on its dick, and it just kept jerking off, saying things like, oh, well, you know, we'll get to that. Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't seem like it's gonna... And with all of their wisdom, they sort of pushed that aside, while the internet... And the digital world began to improve itself, began to, you know, create content. A lot of the time, these guys will say, you know, and they're kidding themselves over there. They really are kidding themselves. One of the reasons why the ad dollars are not flowing to online advertising as much as they remain with radio is because the digital world has yet to figure out how to rate, how to demographically chart its audience. In radio, they use a process called diary keeping. That's what Nielsen, Arbitron, whoever the fuck, they also have their people meter, but for many, many years it was, you'd write down, I listened to this show. You imagine what kind of an active user you'd have to be to do that? That's why a lot of times top 40 stations won, or the old school stations, the heritage stations won, because all the people that listened to those stations were all real active listeners. Nonetheless, it was, you know, pretty accurate, and that's what they used. They also could find out how many people, how many females, how many males, how many Hispanic, how many white, Caucasian, how many African-American, what age group, 12 to 17, 18 to 34, 34 to 54, whatever. Well, the digital world is yet to be able to do that. Okay, it's too many entities. You can't get them all together, for instance, and have them all sign contracts with Nielsen and say, okay, this is what we're all going to do. So the closest thing you can do is download numbers. Download numbers doesn't tell you anything about who's downloading, doesn't tell you how old the people are that are downloading, doesn't tell you the gender of the people that are downloading. It just tells you the number of shows that are downloaded. Tells you the number of shows downloaded in a day, tells you the number of down in a week, in a month. But that's it. And when you're talking about big advertisers like, for instance, Budweiser or the car companies or some of those big fuckers, you know, Mercedes-Benz, they ain't going to go near your ass unless you can give them detailed audience breakdown. Smaller advertisers, they're fine with it. They'll take their chances. And the radio world, the guys in the radio world stayed away from online because they didn't know how to monetize it. The Dickies, you may know that name, the Dickey brothers, they owned ABC. Well, they ran ABC. I don't know what the fuck. I think they were with Cumulus or some company, but they were the guys that programmed. They were the guys that managed it, owned it. I don't know. This was a fucking disaster for that company. And as I've said to you many, many times, because I thought it was one of the world's great quotes, within 30 days, Lou Dickey had said about online, you know, it's cute, but there's no business there for us. Within 30 days, the guy was saying, we're burning the midnight oil over here on how to monetize it, because he saw, he did some research in those 30 days. I guess before that, he hadn't done anything. He hadn't been reading. He didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. He goes, wait a minute, what did I just say? You said the whole thing's a pile of shit. Oh, well, I better get a new quote out of my ass. And he did. He realized that he'd misread the whole thing. They're gone. They're fucking gone. Clear Channel offers shitty music and right-wing talk on iHeartMedia. It's an app. What is it? It's just all their goddamn fucked up radio stations. Their fucked up music and their goddamn fascist, Nazi, pig-ass fucking talk shows. There's no art there anymore. So that's why I said today, I said the art of broadcasting and the business of broadcasting. I don't give a shit, you know. I don't give a fuck. I'll go down swinging, man. I will go out of this fucking world swinging because I know this business. I know how to be a performer. I know how to be an entertainer. And I may not be the most elegant strategizer in the world, but I can tell you where the problem is. It was 10 years ago you could see where the problem was. 20 years ago you could see where the problem was. 30 years ago you could see where the problem was. Nobody thought anything of content. The other day I was playing Wolfman Jack for somebody. Was it here? Something tells me I was talking with some friends though. And we were all saying, you know, where is that radio now? He was a performance artist. You know. Anyway, so I say all of that to say that net neutrality is going away. Net neutrality is going away. Should this be the show? It's a hell of a show for Thanksgiving, isn't it? Net neutrality's going away. Oh, net neutrality's going away. Net neutrality's going away. You fucked up. You fucked up. Fucked up, fucked up. Man, you really fucked up. It's going away. It was. Rory McLeod, one of our great BSPs, says today's replay was pretty epic. Yeah, it was. It was about, it was a replay from last Thanksgiving. Jesus. And it was about UCLA. Dave Oliver was talking about the UCLA. I can't believe it was a year ago that Big D and I had been to the SC UCLA game. And do I have Alzheimer's? No. But, you know, would I be afraid that I'm getting it? Yes. Because I came out of one break and said, well, Don, I went to the Ram and SC game. Went to the Ram SC game. And saw the Rams play SC. I must have said it six fucking times. I didn't catch myself. Yeah, Don, I went and saw the Rams in SC. What is this? 24/7 comfort apparel Wall Street dress. What? That's pretty. I don't know. The Wi-Fi here at our studio is like goddamn terrible. God, there's a fucking fight going on in this. Oh, they're playing, replaying it. There was a fight going on in the St. Louis-Edmonton game that was pretty good. I mean, they were wailing on each other. Hey, this pre-show today is going to be about 5 minutes long because there's so much fucking dead air. Okay.
I drive a newer model Cadillac. I'm interstate. I get 30 miles to the gallon. So it's not that bad.
What are you driving? What are you driving?
A DeVille. It's the big Cadillac.
That ain't no hog.
I don't know what character that. All right, might be Steve Bozell. Hey, what the fuck's the story here, man? Oh, psh, dumb shit. There's a, I don't know, dude. We got some slow action on these fucking computers tonight. And that generally means we're going to get some jumpy video. You know what I'm saying, man? I mean, I don't want to talk or anything. All right. I wish I knew where to find some of that fucking music that we used to use, because I think it's here. Now, we had some great singing.
Hairdresser.
Get out of here, will you? Those poor people on that show. That girl probably had some talent, you know, but I mean,
who do you have in this matchup, Oregon or the defending national champs, Florida State, a team that hasn't lost in their last 29 games?
Yeah, I hate to overwhelm you with cliches on the first day of the new year, but it's hard to go against Jameis Winston and Florida State.
And they got their ass kicked. What is this? This is Phil Hendry. Oh, it's like. It was an audition.
If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, 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 what a gal. There's...
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth.
jackknife has old Mackie, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that sharp bites with his teeth, dear, scarlet billows start to spread.
All right, man, I'm ready to...
Leon Dunphy. Oh, my God. Let's see here.
What is this?
Small saw. All right. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Oh, shit. Okay, cool. All right. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Ted's of Beverly Hills. All right. Old Mackie Heatley, and he keeps his out of sight.
A Serial Killer Podcast, hosted by...
No, motherfucker, no. That's for next goddamn bitch week. I need the 20th.